Okay, well, let's pray together. And we've got this final session with a speaker. And then, of course, the session after lunch is testimony time and some final prayer together. But we will pray and ask for the Lord's help during this session. The title in the booklet, you've perhaps seen, Wherever You Are, Be All There. And that'll be our title this morning. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for what we've heard today. Thank you for what we've heard these 3 days together here. And Lord, for this session, we do pray that you would work in our hearts. Would you teach us, open our minds, and give us understanding, and also open our hearts, and give us submissive hearts to the Lord and to what you would have from us. And Lord, use this session to equip us, to prepare us for the task that you have placed or will place in front of us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wherever you are, be all there. I didn't come up with the wording for this title. You might recognize that phrase as coming from someone else. Anybody know who said that? Okay, very good. I heard a lot of people say Jim Elliot. It's actually a part of a journal entry from September of 1950. So September 24th, 1950. Jim has already graduated from Wheaton. He's living in Oklahoma. He had finished a summer course in linguistics, and then he stayed in Oklahoma a little while after that. And my understanding is he had a weekend in Dallas or in Texas. And here's his journal entry from September 24th. I'll read you the whole journal entry. September 24th, maxims. Number one, answer to the rudder, capitalized. Answer to the rudder or answer to the rocks. That's pretty good too. Answer to the rudder or answer to the rocks. Number two, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Number three, determination, not desire, determines destiny. And then I don't think he included this in his maxims, but he also had these words. Weekend at El Har Young Life Leadership Camp, met Bob McLaren, Dean Nelson, Bill Poston at Dallas Seminary. Okay. It's not a maxim, okay. But it was part of his journal entry. And in these words, wherever you are, be all there, he seems to be calling for intensity and passion. Hey, live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Now I'm going to use his words maybe a little differently than he meant them in his entry. You're not allowed to take the Bible out of context, but you are allowed to take Jim Elliot out of context as long as you say you're doing it, okay? I'm just using his words, really, and there'll be a slight difference. But I did think it would be good to give the context of his words, especially in light of the date. Anybody know what yesterday was? It was Thursday. Okay. January 8th. Anybody know what happened on January 8th? Pardon? They were killed exactly 70 years ago yesterday. So January 8th, 1956. So January 8th, 2026 was actually the 70th anniversary of their martyrdom. So Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Of course, we have these words that we know so well. Go and make disciples of all nations. This wonderful, wonderful task that Jesus Christ has given to us. And going is an essential component of that task. Go. And that is repeated in other ways throughout the New Testament. But that word go always has a corollary. For those of us who are not omnipresent, it is impossible to go somewhere without leaving the place we currently are. Okay, go always has a corollary. To go somewhere, you have to leave where you are. leave and go always stick together. And the New Testament actually does use the leave terminology as well. You can turn to a couple passages with me in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, both these passages are well known, but Matthew chapter 4, and here's Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. He's walking by the sea. He calls Simon and Andrew and James and John. He says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And verse 20, Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. To go with Jesus, they left something else. And then verse 22, immediately James and John, they left the boat and their father and followed him. They would go with Jesus in his earthly ministry. But in order to go with him, they had to leave something else. And turn over as well to the next book, Mark 10. Mark chapter 10. And in answer to a likely very self-serving reminder from Peter, Peter said to him, verse 28, "Behold, we've left everything and followed you." Jesus answers with these just wonderful, precious statements. Verse 29, "Truly I say to you," there is, and I love these two words, "there is no one who has done this, who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother, or father, or children, or farms, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." No one. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are no exceptions to these words. No exception to these words. You can count on this. There's not one single person in the history of the world who has left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, farms, for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel, who has not already received in this time, right now, 100 times as much, along with persecutions, and who will receive in the age to come eternal life, not one. Some of you are still discerning what God wants from you and where God might place you. Some of you are on the verge of doing what this verse says, leaving all these things. And these words, in the fullest sense of this word, these words are awesome. And others of you have years of experience and can add your word of testimony that these words are true. You could do like Mary Slessor did with another promise. You can set to your seal that these words are true. But the point here, Jesus says that leaving is a necessary component of what he calls on people to do for his sake and for the sake of the gospel. Leaving and going always stick together. Though one of those words makes it into missions conference themes a little more frequently. And probably with good reason. So leave and go to the place where God sends you and be all there. Be all there. And I want to give 3 points this morning and then just some concluding applications. First of all, consider a danger. A danger. And this is a real danger. It is possible to have your body and your ministry activities in one place and your heart somewhere else. And that's not at all what it means to be all there. That's to be partially there. Missionaries raise support from God's people, communicating to them a conviction of God's own leading to a certain place. And churches and believers acknowledge that leading by partnering with them. But then some missionaries, they physically leave the USA and go to that certain place of God's appointment, but their hearts quickly return to the USA. Or perhaps the heart actually never even leaves with them. Or perhaps this happens after years on the field. Their bodies have left the nets and the house and the brothers and the sisters and the mothers and the fathers, and they go, but their hearts are not with them. They do not give their hearts to the place and the people where they are. That's what I mean by be all there. Your heart too. Now, how can somebody evaluate this? How can we judge ourselves and discern whether our heart really is given to the place and people where we serve? Well, here are some suggestions. What do you habitually, a very important word, what do you habitually think about when you are not actively doing something else? When you slip into daydreaming, what is generally your default subject? Do you think mostly about the place you have left or the place to which you have gone? Or what about your emotions? What really gets you excited? What gets your blood pumping a little faster? Learning more about the place you have gone with the gospel or talking about the place you have left? Opportunities to enter your host culture on their terms, like we heard about yesterday from Brother Forrest, or finding little snippets of the USA tucked away in that place. What really gets you going more? Well, there's nothing wrong with going to the international section of the supermarket, if you have supermarkets, to look for canned pumpkin in October and November. I hope there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with getting excited to find it. True confession. Cranberry sauce, very good, same, the same. Hey, did you ever buy 12 cans just because you saw it there? Okay, all right, he's covering his face in shame. Don't be ashamed, there's nothing wrong with that. There's okay to be excited about that. Yes, we did buy 12 cans of canned pumpkin, just in case they didn't have it the next time, okay? It's fine. But that excitement ought to be at least matched by the excitement of learning the local culture, of learning the local cuisine and what they do on their holidays and what they eat on their holidays. I mean, it ought to be matched. What about your wishes? What about your desires? I mean, what do you really, if you really were totally, brutally honest with yourself, what do you really want? And when we talk about the heart, we talk about the mind and will and emotions, and these are ways to evaluate our heart. And again, I do not want this to be calling us to an unhealthy introspection. Okay, this is habitual patterns, right? I'm talking about habitual patterns. And here's another way we can evaluate ourselves. Some missionaries withdraw from personal, regular interaction with the people in their host country. They carry on their public ministries, their formal planned services, and they keep up a public persona, but there is little to no personal ministry. And even the public ministry gets to be very external, going through the motions. We've heard a good bit in the last couple of days that ministry is not simply preaching and teaching and what we do in public. It's relationships and life together, discipleship, mentoring, evangelism. And this is reality. That is hard, if not impossible, if your heart is in another place. It's not as hard to keep up the public stuff, right? But it is so hard to keep up the giving of my life to these people if my heart is not with them. So be all there. And I would like for us to turn to two passages we've already seen. I think once, and one of the passages one time, and the other passage, I think we've seen it three times, maybe four times in the last 2 days already. That's interesting to me. The Lord knows we need this. Acts 20, verse 31, this was from Dr. Barry's session yesterday on passing the baton. Acts 20, verse 31. And here's Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. And he says to them, verse 31, therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day, let's not pass over those words, night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we need to keep moving here. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased. It was pleasant to us to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. And here's Paul's words to a group of people that he did not actually spend that long with. But listen to those words, affection. We gave you our lives. You were very dear to us. And I think we ought to just acknowledge here, and then we'll move on. When we withdraw from the people whom God has sent us to serve, okay, think about this. When we withdraw from the people whom God has sent us to serve, we're actually cutting ourselves off from some of the blessing that Jesus promised to us in Mark chapter 10, right? You leave father and mother and brothers and sisters and houses and lands for my sake in the gospel. You get 100-fold in this life. But when we withdraw from the people whom God has sent us to serve, the believers that God gives to us to serve, we're actually giving up some of that 100-fold that God provides for us. So here's this danger. What it means to be all there. And as we think about this danger, I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you, give your whole self to the people whom God has marked out for you. Give your whole self to them. And don't let your heart be somewhere else. So there's a danger. But secondly, I do also want to appeal for some balance. There's a second word. There's a danger, but there's some balance. Being all there doesn't mean you stop being American or cease having responsibilities that require some attention given to the USA and concerns outside of the place where God sends you. I think about Paul. This is 2 Corinthians 11. We won't turn there, but Paul lists all of these persecutions, lists these sufferings that he's experienced. And at the end of that list, he says this, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. So there's some part of Paul that is not just thinking about the place where he is in Ephesus or the place where he is in Thessalonica. He's actually concerned for all the churches. So being all there, right, does not exclude thinking about and even being concerned for other places and other things. In Paul's travels and ministry, even as he gave his very soul to the Thessalonians, and even as he unceasingly, night and day, with tears, spoke to the Ephesians at the very same time, he had concern for all the churches, and it was a daily pressure, he said. So there's some balance here, right? As in nearly everything in life, there's probably some tension here that we can't quite cut through. You have supporters in the United States, right? You probably should not forget about them. Taking time to communicate appreciation to those who are partnering with you, okay, even though they're thousands of miles from where you are. That's the right thing. That's the only right thing to do. Write prayer letters. This is not at odds with giving your heart to your people in place. You can't say, but I'm physically in Timbuktu, right? No. You do have other concerns. You ought to take furloughs. That requires some time and some planning and some effort. You're still an American in a foreign country, so you're going to have to deal with issues of immigration and residency and all kinds of requirements to keep paperwork updated. And sometimes you have to leave your host country. Okay, you do everything you can to vote. A citizen of the United States. Responsibilities to aging parents. I have been so grateful in these last few years that we've been in the home office to watch exemplary, God-honoring care of GFA missionaries for aging parents back in the U.S. It's really been a blessing. And of course, there are other legitimate family obligations or family events, and we live in an age where travel is relatively cheap and easy. You believe that? Travel is relatively cheap and easy. My older brother once was responding to people who were complaining about air travel. And I don't think any of you knows him, but he, in his very humorous way, says, "Do you know what people used to experience to travel from North Carolina to California? It's like four months in a wagon. And when you get there, you're with a different group of people because some of the people you left with died and others were born." Okay, you think the guy across the airplane aisle smells a little off, right? And, you know, you can't do 4.5 hours. Okay, well, try 4 months. And communication is so much easier and cheaper. We can be really thankful for these things, make careful use of them. And really, it does all come down to this. Where is your heart? You're going to have to balance responsibilities as an American missionary living far from the USA. There is balance required, but where is your heart? Are you physically in your host country while your heart is somewhere else? And again, wherever you are, be all there. Think about Hudson Taylor. I think he traveled out of China 11 times. No airplanes, by boat. Sometimes for years, he was out of China. And in his role, of course, he had a lot of administration that kept him connected to England. I'm sure he was thinking about England a lot and elsewhere. But I bet you never found Hudson Taylor pining for England. If I had £1,000, China should have it. And if I had 1,000 lives, China should have them. Okay, that was his heart. Even when his body was in England, China had him. So there's a balance. So there's a danger and a balance. And then thirdly, I want to give... And this is really where this session originated. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about a recent complication. These are not very pithy points. Okay, I understand that. A danger, some balance, and a recent complication. Okay. This is not pithy. Okay, the danger is not new. You can read that in the history of missions, and we won't do that today. But the danger is not new, but there is a fairly recent complication. Technology has made it easier than ever to be somewhere physically, but emotionally somewhere else. My entire experience in missions has been in the digital age. We first went to the field as short-term missionaries with GFA in 2009. Okay. We did not have a smartphone, but we have never known missions without Skype. Skype doesn't exist anymore. I've outlived Skype. But I've never known missions without video calling for free, right? In the grand scheme of things, it wasn't that long ago that to write a letter to supporters, you had to dip a pen in an inkwell. Okay, some people still love to do that. That's pretty cool, actually. I think it's cool. But there was a time when you had to do that. And then wait for the next boat to England or America to send that letter. And sometimes I think that would be amazing. And now messaging apps allow us to communicate instantaneously with nearly anyone in this world. I mean, really, we could communicate with nearly any of the 8+ billion people in the world right now instantaneously. It's amazing. There was a time when missionaries would schedule one or two phone calls per year to family because they cost, I don't even know what they cost. I mean, $5 or $6 a minute, probably more than that. That's like, Merry Christmas, love you all, tell everybody hello, goodbye. And now those same messaging apps provide video calling anytime for nothing, for free. It's astonishing. Think about the news cycle and the amount of time between an event on the other side of the world and the news of that event spreading all around the planet. It's instantaneous. Now, to be clear, the benefits of all of these developments, this recent complication, the benefits are huge. The potential to harness these recent tools is magnificent. But the potential for harm is also enormous. These tools that can be used for great good can also become outlets for me to have my heart 1,000 miles from where it ought to be. Wherever you are, be all there. But now some people wake up physically in their host country, and within seconds, their feet have not even hit the floor. They are feeding on U.S. news and politics and sports and family and friend networks. Where's their heart? Where's their heart? They literally spend hours each day on video calls and messaging with family. Where is the heart? Did they really leave and go, or was it just their body that left? And I want to repeat the call for balance here. This is not an anti-technology session. Far from it. We can. We should. I've already said this. We should leverage the technologies available to us to maintain our relationships and appropriate awareness of things that affect us as family members of people in the U.S. and as citizens of the U.S. Yes, we should do that. Please do not hear in what I'm saying a call to disconnect from those tools. This is what I'm saying. Manage those tools. Don't let them manage you. If you find that these technologies draw your heart away from where it ought to be, seek the grace of God to make some appropriate changes. I'm not on any social media. Why? Well, there are a lot of reasons, but one of them is I just found that my spirit got bent out of shape. I would just get so mad. People are just so, fill in the blank. And it would just, I would just spend a few moments, and my spirit would be wrong. I cannot have that. That's just me. It's just me. I'm not saying anybody else needs to do that. But this recent complication is something that we really do need to be aware of and keep in check. And I do want to conclude by just a few practical suggestions to really help us have our hearts with us where we are. And the first practical suggestion is to do this, to give yourself intentionally to your place and people. Give yourself to your place and people. If you're struggling to have your heart there, well, start giving yourself to the people there. Start giving yourself to that place. Spend time with people on their turf, on their cultural turf. Spend some time in cafes. People over here, right? I love North African cafes. And you do too. It's a great place. It's a great place to meet people on their turf. All right, backing up a little bit, maybe the other end of the spectrum. How about taco stands? Okay. All right, that's a good answer. It's a very good answer. Okay. Hey, Tim Hortons. Right? Okay, see? But if you want the Lord to give you a heart for the people and the place where he sends you, you've got to spend time with them on their cultural turf. Another way of doing this is of giving yourself to your place and your people. Okay? Hospitality in your home. In your home, or go to their homes. Okay, hospitality. Okay, this is a way to avoid this tendency of letting all of our ministry be public and kind of disconnected from the people. Once you say, "Come into my house," you can't do that anymore, right? You are now connected. Once you walk through somebody else's door, You are giving yourself to them. Of course, the ministry value of this is so important as well. Try to disconnect from U.S. sports and get into what the local sports are. Do your best with that. If sports are your thing. One of the first things we did, we adopted one of the three Mexico City soccer teams as our team. And it was so funny because there are a lot of people there that follow religiously U.S. professional basketball and U.S. professional football. And I never have. I don't even like that, right? It was kind of funny. We're just like, I'm trying to adapt to you and you're going the wrong direction. I can't do this right. If you use a VPN to bypass geo restrictions and keep up with U.S. sports, you have a problem. First, it's against the terms and conditions that you agree to. And second, it shows where your heart is. Community events and activities, recreation parks, kids sports, kids music, kids art. Somebody recommended this to us before we went to the field. Every so often, play tourist. Even if you've been there a long time and you know the place well and you don't need to do that anymore, you've been to that place already and you understand, just play tourist. It connects you to the place and people where God sends you. You want to give your heart to the place and people where God puts you, pray. Pray. Pray for a heart given to those people. Pray for love for them. Pray for love for that place. Pray for wisdom for the right balance as an ambassador in a foreign land. So give yourself to those people. Second suggestion, set some technology boundaries. again, this is not an anti-technology session, but it is true that now technology is an outlet that our sinful hearts actually abuse. Right? So maybe you just need to give your family back in the U.S. a schedule for calls and stick to it. That's a suggestion. Suggestion. Okay, just maybe some accountability about time on social media. Maybe you need to get an app blocker. I have an app blocker. 7 days a week. When I get up from 4:45 to 6 a.m., I cannot look at email. It's not possible for me to do so. Okay, if you're in an emergency and you send me an email at 5:15 in the morning, South Carolina time, I'm very sorry. I won't get it. I won't see it. Because that is, there might be something in my email that occupies too much heart at the time when I want to walk with Christ. And if I read it, it's innocent. There's nothing wrong with it. But it actually makes me think too much and occupies my soul when I really need to be doing something else. So set some technology boundaries. Number three, two more of these. Remember Christ. When he came to this world, he also left something. Okay, he has done this. Right? When he came to this world, he also gave something up. And we could see so many texts with this point, but 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. The gulf that he crossed, if I might put it that way, the gulf that he crossed was infinitely larger than any ocean any missionary has ever traversed for the sake of the nations. And he did it. He did it for you. The heart of God was set on us from before the foundation of the world, and Christ is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, from before the foundation of the world, and he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for us. He was not half-hearted about it. Remember Christ. And then finally, if our desire is to be all there, wherever you are in this world, be all there. Here's something that maybe is a little counterintuitive. Number four, rejoice in the fact that no place here is home. No place here is home. We are exiles in this world. You might live in a house that has been in your family for four generations, but you're not home. You have never actually even seen your home. But let your treasure be in that place, and your heart will be there too. And everything else will fall into place. This was attributed to Martin Luther. There are so many things attributed to Martin Luther that he never actually said. I don't know why that happens, but nobody can find this, but it's attributed to him. I have only 2 days on my calendar. Today, and then in quotes, that day. Got only 2 days on my calendar. Today, whatever I've got in front of me right now, and that day. So fix your heart on your real home. Fix your heart on your real, your heavenly citizenship, on the place where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Fix your heart there. Rejoice in that place. Rejoice in the place where Christ is. Rejoice in your heavenly home. And then wherever you are in this world, be all there. For Christ's sake and for the gospel's sake. Hey, let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Lord, would you please enable us by your grace to give our hearts, to have a fond affection, to hold as very dear, to hold in our hearts the people and even the place to which you send us. Whether it's for 1 year or 2 years or 60 years, it is all temporary. It's all part of our short earthly pilgrimage. And we pray for your grace to enable us to be faithful. For the sake of the name of Christ and for the sake of perishing men and women and children all around this world. Lord, help us to hold this earth very loosely and to be willing to truly leave father and mother and houses and lands and children and brothers and sisters. And help us to believe and enjoy this wonderful promise, this wonderful provision promised by Christ of 100 times as much in this world and in the age to come, eternal life. Dear God, help us. Give us wisdom to know how to balance all of these things. Lord, thank you for this last meal that we get to have together at this retreat. We pray that as we gather around these tables that you would give us joy together and use our conversations to sharpen and strengthen us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.